I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. Now hope that is seen is not hope, but who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. We wait for it with patience. Friends, I'm not even sure where to begin. You could listen again to my sermon from last Sunday, and you may think that I had some kind of crystal ball that I gazed into to portend the events that occurred, that unfolded this week in San Bernardino, California. You can go back to my podcast and you can listen to it again, but I almost hate to say it. I told you so, but I told you so. My dear, dear friends, really, I do not relish standing up here Sunday after Sunday giving you the evidence from God's Word about the utter depravity of radical Islam. I already know that liberal preachers in their droves are ignoring the fact that radical Islam is a cancer and blight upon modern humanity. Quite frankly, I would rather deny that the attack ever occurred. But can 14 families who lost their loved ones this week, can they deny that the attack never occurred? Where will be their hope this Christmas? But that said, I would only be half the preacher of God that he has called me to be if I did not acknowledge the intense clash of civilizations presently occurring between Islam and Christianity. To not acknowledge this truth, you'd have to be living on Mars right now. On December the 3rd, our denomination, the United Church of Christ, they issued a statement regarding the terrorist attack in San Bernardino, and the words extremists and terrorists are not to be found once within their statement to us. And I am, frankly, I'm embarrassed by that. If you don't think that there is a major clash, a war that is unfolding between Islam and Christianity, then I would encourage you to go back and study world history more closely, and also what the aims and goals are for Islam as found in the Quran. Truly, I would only be half the preacher were I to gloss over the deaths of innocent people and the tearing apart of their families in Paris, and the deaths of those in San Bernardino. And trust me, there will be liberal preachers standing in their pulpits this morning who will either outright ignore the white elephant in the room, radical Islam, or they will stand behind the increasingly unbelievable tale that Islam is a religion of peace. I've said it before, and I'm going to go on the record to say it again, since we're speaking about our Advent theme of hope, that Islam, no matter how you interpret it, is a destroyer of hope, not a creator of one. It is a faith that does not know peace, because its founder, Muhammad, was a desert warlord who from the get-go had his sights set on conquering lands and people. It's all there in the story of his life. You can go ahead and do your own independent verification. contrast this over against the life of our precious Savior. The only money that Jesus ever had to his name was a few coins that were kept in the apostles' common purse by Judas the betrayer. Contrast that over all of the wealth and the fame that Muhammad accumulated to himself in his lifetime. And though surrounded by women, our Savior never took a wife to himself. Contrast that with Muhammad, who had many wives, including a 6-year-old child bride by the name of Aisha. Let the record show that Muhammad consummated his marriage to this prepubescent bride at the age of 9. Can you imagine? Today we would call that pedophilia, wouldn't we? And when Peter pulled his scabbard from his side to cut off the ear of the temple guard, when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Return your sword to its place, Peter, because those who take up the sword will die, will perish by the sword." Contrast that with Muhammad, who was an egregious warlord, who lifted up his sword to kill time and time again. Oh, church, open your eyes to the truth that Jesus is Lord. Religion of peace? Someone, academia, the media, or our liberal PC culture have incorrectly read the true intended purpose of Islam, which is to convert you and I by the sword and to have us live under Sharia law. And if they get their way, as they have in Iran and Iraq and Syria, prepare, my friends, to go back to living in the Middle Ages. Come on, Pastor Daniel. Going back and living in the Middle Ages? Are you kidding me? Really? Really? According to a 2013 study from the Pew Forum, very well respected, that Pew does all of this different research. Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, in this study, 2013, 2 years ago. That's not the Middle Ages, my friend. That's 2013, entitled "The World's Muslims, Religion, Politics, and Society." The following statistics are available of women who were stoned to death for committing adultery. Pakistan, 89 women stoned to death for committing adultery. Afghanistan, 85. Palestinian territories, 84. Egypt, 81. Jordan, 67. Iraq, well, they were the low number with only 58 women stoned to death for committing adultery. Tajikistan, 51. But then again, to be fair to Muhammad, he never claimed to be a Messiah. Just a prophet. As did Joseph Smith, who was the founder of the Mormon religion. Prophets, prophets everywhere, but by God, my soul is hungry for a Savior. A prophet like John the Baptist, whom Jesus said was the greatest of all the prophets, can only take you so far, and then Messiah has got to take you the rest of the way. Listen to this verse from Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were all still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. Although Jesus, whom Muslims call Isa, although Jesus died for Muhammad, Christianity having flourished for 600 years before Islam even came on the scene, Muhammad refused the good news of the gospel. Although Jesus died for Saeed Farouk and Tashin Malek, they refused to listen.
On Friday, when the press was allowed into the apartment of these followers of ISIS, and they are confirmed followers of ISIS, ISIS blessed their work in San Bernardino and called them soldiers of their movement. When the cameras went into the apartment, a cameraman panned to a table that had resting upon it a copy of the Quran. I am right that the Quran is the sacred scriptures of this religion of peace, aren't I? Were Farouk and Malik studying the sacred texts before they launched forth on their mini jihad this week? Did they read Surah 929, fight against those who believe not in Allah and those who acknowledge not the religion of truth, Islam, among the people of the scriptures, Jews and Christians? That's you and I, my friends. Or did they read there in that Quran sitting in their apartment on that table? Did they read from Quran 839 and fight them until there is no more fitna, disbelief, and the religion will all be for Allah alone in the whole world? Were they reading that, I wonder, as they strapped their Kalashnikovs over their shoulders? Or did they read the same Quranic text as Osama bin Laden quoted in his 2002 letter? How sweet of him that he wrote to you and I, entitled Letter to the American People, where he quotes Quran 22:39, permission to fight is given to those Muslims against Christians because they have believed wrongly. This was not a radical Islamic version of the Quran. It doesn't have to be, because for Farouk and Malik, they found everything that they needed right in the original version of the Quran that you can pick up at Barnes & Noble's for under 20 bucks. Did I not tell you after the carnage in Paris that our time is short? And that it is urgently incumbent upon every Christian to know what it is that we believe. Please. Because they do. This morning, my friends, I believe that you believe in hope. I believe that. The hope that can be found in the Christ child, the newborn babe of Bethlehem. Don't let these wayward children of Hagar take that from you. This morning, my friends, as we stand in the shadow of a feckless government who is so unwilling to truthfully call a thing what it is, terrorism, all for the sake of political expediency, I want you to take heart. I want you to take heart. I want you to truly have hope like you've never had it before. But I want you to be clear about the kind of hope that I am speaking of. I'm not talking about hope in the government. Can I get an amen? Amen. I think we've got the memo now that they cannot protect us from this scourge. You know, they cannot do that. Politicians should only strive to give us good, fair, and a just government that is rooted in the Judeo-Christian tradition. But hope, my friends, solely belongs to Jesus. Solely belongs to Him. He's the one, based on Scripture, that is qualified to offer it. Neither ought we to put our hope in the crass materialism of Cyber Monday. Gotta love that one. Midnight sales events or zero down offers. Things don't give us hope. Christ gives us hope. Now, we all know that it's not about all the gifts around the tree. It is about being around the tree with those whom we love and those who love us. That is the greatest gift at Christmas, isn't it? And with regret, there will be 14 families around their trees if they even bother to put their trees up this Christmas, and each of these families will be minus their beloved, killed in cold blood for a false religion. How was 27-year-old Yvette Velasco a crusader? How was that the case? How did Michael Wetzel, a father of six, offend Muhammad? How? How did Damien Maynes violate the Quran that he deserved to die for it? Was Sierra Claiborne an infidel? Neither should we rest in the hope of philosophers. You know, the Greeks believed in the five ages of man. There was a gold age, there was a silver age, there was a bronze age, there was a heroic age, and then there was the iron age. You can look up all their various meanings on the internet, but the last one, the iron age, was a time when humans existed and they lived in a time of toil and misery, so say the Greeks. They said that children would dishonor their parents, that brothers would fight with brothers, and the social contract between the guest and the host would be forgotten. During this iron age, might makes right, and bad men use lies to be thought of as good. At the height of this age, humans no longer feel shame or indignation at wrongdoing. We're there, people. Okay? Babies will be born, so said the Greeks in their philosophy, with gray hair, and the gods will have completely forsaken humanity. There will be no help against evil. But you and I possibly cannot believe that we live in the Iron Age, although it may feel like it sometimes. For friends, we are not adherents to the philosophy of the Greeks. We don't live in the Iron Age. We live in the Messianic Age. Advent and Christmas ushered in the Messianic Age. And the Messianic Age is an age of hope, thanks be to God. And hope, as today's text declares, never makes us feel ashamed. We live in the age of knowing the Prince of Peace. Our hope is that His light is coming to break the stranglehold of darkness upon this world. Listen to this from Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, meaning Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? I love that. So allow me to conclude this morning with a powerful story of hope and inspiration, if I may. Yeah, it was a real sign of solidarity and hope when the people of San Bernardino gathered together. They held the vigil last Thursday night in their local stadium. Yes, they wrote out SB strong, San Bernardino strong, on the little cups that held the candles that they had in their hands to catch the dripping wax. SB strong. But I want to tell you the story of just one of these 14 martyrs. Her name was Benetta Betbedal. She was 46 years old. She was born in Iran in 1969. And she came to the United States at the age of 18 to escape the persecution of Christians after the Iranian Revolution of 1979. That persecution against Christians in Iran, by the way, is still going on today. I know that because I have Iranian Christian friends, okay? According to a statement on a fundraising site that is set up in Benetta's name, she first settled in New York when she came to the United States, but she eventually moved to Rialto, California. She and her husband, a police officer, were married in 97, and they've got three children, ages 10, 12, and 15, who have no mama in their home this Christmas. Bette Bedahl graduated from California State Polytechnic University in Pomona with a degree in chemistry, very smart lady, and took a job as a health inspector with San Bernardino County. Her husband, Arlen, told the Daily Breeze that he and his wife exchanged texts at 8 a.m. on Wednesday morning. He told her that he had withdrawn some money from the bank and that he was heading out to go do some Christmas shopping. And Bette Bedahl replied that she just finished decorating the Christmas tree in their home. And then later she was planning to give a presentation at the annual holiday meeting Wednesday, and she was excited about it, the family said. In a statement issued by her family, they said, quote, "It is the ultimate irony that her life would be stolen from her that day by what appears to be the same type of extremism that she fled from her homeland Iran so many years ago that it would now find itself in the USA, on our western coast, in the state of California, in the city of San Bernardino. Who would have ever thought?" So there you have it. I want you to know that I find hope in the life of Benetta Bette Bedahl. Though Iranian, she knew Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And now does she not cry down from heaven today, saying to those of us on our journey towards Bethlehem, don't give up on hope? The call of Advent boldly declares, what on earth are you waiting for? Make Him your Savior too. Hers is not the only quintessential immigrant story filled with love for her husband, her children, and her beautiful home. But it is a story of the reality that if given the chance, if freedom and the love of Christ are your cause, you will hope in a better tomorrow than the draconian society that Islam is offering the world. You, like Benetta once did, will hope in the Star of David at the highest point of the Christmas tree. You will hope in the biblical promises of the light of Christ as symbolized in Christmas lights blazing all throughout our dark communities. You will hope in your children, in your grandchildren, but above all, you will know the truth that Jesus Christ only sets people free. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. What are we waiting for? Pierce the darkness with the light of Christ who dwells within you. For as our newly emerging vision statement asserts, we are His light that transforms lives.